Now you kiss and Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you get out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it. Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase... Oh, there's stickers. Yeah. My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts, including a place that rhymes with Schmishmortified. A lot we got into the last hour. I've got on the tube Dodgers, Cubs, Imanaga, Yamamoto. That is a sexy matchup. Just based on starting pitchers, but also the Japanese connection plus Shohei. It's been really fun kind of seeing the videos of the three of them interacting. And that's really cool. They got mad respect for each other. That's really fun.
I might have stated this on this show, but it might have been on Sunday's show. I will be at Dodger Stadium v. the Padres on September 27th, and there is a chance, if the stats line up right, that I could be there for Shohei's breaking the 50-50 mark. So,
and the 50-50.
Very excited for
the
that.
50-50.
And then you will streak onto the field, butt-ass naked.
You better run on the field, Schultzy,
with just a 50-50s. Sock over it. He's just socking it.
Just Anthony Kiedis, Red Hot Chili Peppers, like, no clothes and a sock over the dun-dun-dun.
I don't have a sexy body like Anthony Kiedis, though.
That's more the best fleet. Part.
I think that is what works in your favor.
Yeah, okay. It's what the people want to see.
Well, I can't, like, hop over the fence like some of those really athletic dudes in these videos.
It's like the Olympics. Like, we're tired of seeing these studs. We want the average
guy. You want the everyman, yeah.
Going up against them to see how we line up. And you are that on Shohei's 50-50.
I'd give max effort, that's for damn sure.
And then get absolutely hit stick by, like, a 265-pound just ripped security guard. Yeah.
Well, if it was the home
Terry
run...
Terry Tating your ass.
Oh, God, screw that. If it was the home run, there's going to be a fight, massive fight in the outfield for that, and I'm sitting like way away in this 200 level, so kind of glad that I'm not even going to be near it.
I have decided not to talk about Shohei potentially 50-50 because I want to see it first. I don't think it's that great to sit here and say, well, can he do it? Will he? Of course he can do it. Of course he can do it. There's enough time. Of course he can do it. I want to see it first, and then I'll talk about it. Okay.
What's he at? 46?
46 and 45, I believe. 46 and 47, I believe.
Ooh. So he needs four home runs in like 18 games.
He's going to do it. Yeah.
Lock it in.
And we'll get there when he does it. But like we've said with Aaron Judge, I was still on this show with Voldemort. Can Judge get to 62? And that month, we previewed it, we highlighted it, we even cut to in-game during our show to see if we did it. In fact, we cut to in-game.
You must have a good producer to do that.
I was producing primetime, and in the club hour, we cut to live Judge hitting 62. I was there for that. Judge is a struggle when it comes to this. It's clearly on his brain. Shohei, I don't know. So I've decided we're not going to do it until they do it.
Well, Judge is not going to get to 62.
Judge will not get to 62 or 63.
It reminds me of MLB The Show. My player, he was going to set the single season record, and it just got in my head. I started swinging at everything, and then by the season's end, I got to like 66, 67, something like that. No, I think I got to 70. I don't know, but I couldn't do it. Too much pressure I put on myself to perform.
Dude, 70 is the record.
No,
Most home runs hit in a single season is 62 by Aaron Judge.
Oh, I see what you're doing there. Yeah, well, MLB The Show says something different.
I actually
In fact, they don't even have him in MLB The Show. It says, like, in the records.
It says the Giants.
San Francisco Giants, 73, single season.
Well, you know why, right?
Because he is an abomination to the game.
Because Bonds is like Griffey.
No, Barry Bonds is famously not a part of the Players Association. Griffey was. That's never the problem.
But
Barry...
not in those early games. That's why Ken Griffey Jr. Baseball was created, because Griffey was not in those old video games.
Oh, yeah. Not like the ones in the 90s. But then by the time, you know, EA started making them, he was. But
it was like Bill Belichick in Madden. Mm-hmm. Belichick was never in any of the Madden games.
He never signed on to it?
No.
Wow.
It was always some random dude as the coach for the Patriots.
Actually, speaking of that, one little tiny thing to add to this rabbit hole.
We're getting
real off
track.
No, MLB The Show, I'll finish up. MLB The Show never gets the new managers the next year. They always have to wait a year because for some reason, like, affording the license on that guy just is too expensive, apparently. But yeah, so very random faces.
A really fun story that I'll tell you and then we'll get out on that is I remember I was competing to win Hunt for the Host. I had not won yet. And I was brought on to primetime. And my good friend Isachi asked me the all-time home run leaders in baseball. He said, "You're a baseball fan, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, big time baseball. Like, that's my sport." And he said, "Okay, well, let's put you on the spot. I'm on the air. It's like 5:30. I'm on the air." And I say, "What do you got?" And he says, "I need you to name the top five most home runs hit of all time." And I said, "Well, that's easy. Number one's Hank Aaron. Number two is Babe Ruth. Number three, I think at the time, was Jim Thome. And number four was Griffey." And Isaac stopped me and he was like, wait, like, you're missing people. And Suit goes, "You don't see what he's doing?"
Yeah, it was good. I know what he's doing.
Suit goes, "You don't see what he's doing?" And that's how I live. So most home runs hit in a single season is 62 by Aaron Judge. Most home runs all time is Ham, is the hammer, and that's how we do it.
Oh yeah, you'll do some mescaline out at the gorge, but shame on anybody doing steroids.
It's ayahuasca, Joe. Quit mixing things around.
My bad, peyote.
Oh, I can't afford peyote. Sounds fun though. All right, when we come back, I do want to get into some MVP conversation and why maybe the front runners should not be the MVPs. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. We got Fair or Foul coming up here in about 15 minutes. Everybody's favorite. We do that every single week at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. IT Joey just stepped into the booth. It's absolutely fantastic to see him as somebody that sits here late at nights on Tuesdays. I don't see a whole lot of people.
And he is an enabler for my fix of energy drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are some
He's
days.
He's the enabler.
Oh, yeah. There are some days where I don't bring enough of them. I don't have that extra one in the fridge, and I see he is well stocked.
I thought three was good, but it was clearly a 4-day, no. And Joey hooks you up.
He's the one that has 3 to 4 ready to go at all times. And then I'll just kind of meander into his office and be scratching my neck and be like, "Hey, man, can I get one of those amps? Can I get one of those Mountain Dew energy drinks, please? Come on, baby.
Oh, baby.
Come on, baby."
So it was good to see him.
Ooh, funky.
We'll do Fair or Foul here in about 10 minutes, but I wanted to get into this. I saw something today on the internet, and it was interesting. I'm a Reddit kid, so I get most of my information from Reddit.
The internet's front page.
If I don't watch it live, like, you know, when it comes to sports and things that I like, I watch them live, so I don't have to get it from Reddit. But I saw this great thing that somebody posted and said, I'll just leave it here for you to see. And it pertained to the MVP voting.
Oh, God. We're doing this.
We are doing this because I think this was a fair thing that was said. This was a Royals fan.
Oh.
Obviously biased.
Come on!
And they admitted their bias, but they showed some stats. And they said, Bobby Witt Jr. has 34 home runs. Aaron Judge has 51 home runs. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If Bobby Witt Jr. played every one of his games in Yankee Stadium,
oh,
he would have 38 home runs.
Okay.
Instead of 31.
We're doing the would it dong, huh?
Right. We know the short porch and right. We know how Yankee Stadium is built, et cetera, et cetera. If Bobby Witt Jr. played his every 162 in Yankee Stadium, he would have 38 home runs instead of 31. And then they did that for Aaron Judge, who has 51 home runs.
If he played in Kauffman?
If Aaron Judge played 162 in Kauffman Stadium, he would have 38 home runs.
Oh, dear God.
The same amount as Bobby Witt Jr.
Ouch.
And if you look at every stat outside of home runs, Bobby Witt Jr. wins.
I know.
And who's the better defender?
He has a better war.
It's Bobby Witt.
Well,
Judge is a good outfielder.
I was going to say. Like,
Judge is a very good outfielder. Yeah. There's not
the fact that a man of his size is playing the field at all.
Like, agreed.
Usually a dude that is a 6'8 Herman Munster lookalike is usually just DHing all the time.
And they normally have him in right, but he has to play center because Soto's in right. I agree. Judge is a really solid center fielder.
The one thing I'll kind of poke a hole in that whole switch the ballpark argument is that, okay, so if Judge was... if Witt was playing in a more homer-friendly park, he would still have the same home runs as Judge.
Yes.
Which means that Judge, like, if they would both have 38 home runs.
Right.
So...
But I think that's actually more indicative of Judge, that Yankee Stadium has given him 13 more home runs.
Yeah, but it's, again, they would still be tied.
Right.
In this hypothetical situation.
And if they were tied at 38... Bobby Witt beats him in stolen bases. Bobby Witt beats him in batting average. Bobby Witt beats him as defensive.
Has a better war.
Has a better war. Bobby Witt Jr. is the second best defensive shortstop in baseball right now, behind Frankie Lindor.
I will say, the last couple of weeks have not done Aaron Judge any favors.
Right. So
13 straight games without a home run after hitting two against Rockies on that Sunday.
So it just leads me to this fun conversation that we have all the time. Like, let's remember Alex Rodriguez's MVPs that he won in Texas and they didn't make the playoffs and they were terrible, but he hit 50 home runs and 1,000 RBIs. And that's why he won MVPs. So you start talking about what's a true MVP. We talk about this in basketball all the time. The true MVP in basketball, 90% of the time over the last 20 years should be LeBron James, but he doesn't win them all because it's like, okay, it's Russell Westbrook's turn, it's James Harden's turn, it's blah, 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 Giannis, fill in the blank. But in baseball, they just kind of give it to Judge because he has 51 home runs and he's batting 330. But I asked this
That's
question.
Pretty damn good.
But I asked this question. The Kansas City Royals are about to go to the playoffs because of Bobby Witt. Is Bobby Witt not more valuable than Judge is?
So this is where I hear you, and it's like, let's, you know, do the whole take them off the team. What does that team look like? The Yankees probably competing for a wild card.
And what's funny is this is where I actually blow this whole thing up and become a terrible host, is if you take Judge off the Yankees, they're terrible.
See, I mean, they still have Soto.
He's just as valuable to them as Bobby is to the Royals, because the Royals have Sal.
But if you take Witt off of the Royals,
they're done.
Yeah, they are nothing.
They're done.
Are what they've been the last couple of years, granted with Witt, but I mean, he wasn't having the past 2 years like he is right now.
I mean, that's a different argument, though. I think this speaks more to kind of the uniqueness of baseball, and it's like, what, the only sport out of any that I can think of that has unique parks to a city. You know, every single basketball court is the same. Portland, Miami, you know, you're playing a Heat game, you're playing a Blazers game. Those courts are the same exact dimensions. But Aaron Judge is very, very valuable to the Yankees, but because of the park that he's in, that adds more value. And I'm assuming that's boosting Juan Soto's numbers, it's boosting Giancarlo's numbers, and it's why I think Adrian Beltre long ago had that bounce back season, because he was with the Red Sox for that 1 year. He had that short porch in left field in the Green Monster. Right. He hit like 330.
And it's a short and right, too.
Yeah, and it's short and right. So he had like 330 something with like 30 homers and got that massive deal in Texas. So those two parks specifically, Yankee Stadium though here, yeah, it really increases those numbers, and Witt might hit 60 there.
And well, that's what I'm curious about. As we live in baseball, where we have all these deep dive sabermetric stats that we can really get into things.
Are you looking at my screen right now?
Because
I'm
not.
I'm literally trying to find the stat that equates into like the park factors.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, well. Yeah.
Because there is a specific individual stat that kind of plays into everything, as far as, yeah, park, where they're playing, that I'm totally spacing on what it is, but there is something like that.
And if you're a top defender, like Bobby Witt Jr. is probably Bobby Witt Jr. is in the top five defensive shortstops in all of baseball. Okay? He's not one, he's not two, but he's in probably the top five. Judge, as a defensive center fielder, who's pretty good, top 10. So, like, that narrows that gap as well. The Royals were left for dead at the beginning of the season. They're about to make the playoffs. It comes back to the conversation that everybody hates, but it has to come up, is what's the true meaning of the word valuable?
Usually it's a great team.
Judge is the best.
Yeah.
But I would argue Bobby's the most valuable. I'll slide over to the National League right now real quick. Shohei is the best. Who's the most valuable player in the National League? It's not even close. The answer is Francisco Lindor. Without Francisco Lindor, the Mets are nothing.
Now, I will say, and I found the stat that I was trying to come up with, it's the weighted runs created plus.
That's what I'd love to see that.
Now, what that doesn't take into account is defense. It is what,
and that's fine,
and what you are doing as far as the bat goes.
I mean, so. Shohei is about to win an MVP for the first time as a DH. Like, nobody's done that. I'm okay with defense not being a metric. I think defense should be a tiebreaker. Not necessarily a metric.
I think defense in the bigs is easier than hitting in the bigs. It's just hitting is hard in the bigs.
Andrelton Simmons is one of the best defensive shortstops I've ever seen in my entire life. His career batting average is .225.
Exactly. There's a lot of guys like him.
Omar Vizquel should be in the Hall of Fame if he didn't hit his wife.
That's fair.
What you got, Joe?
Whoa, we got dark there.
I'm just proving that. The reason everybody loves Ozzy is because of his defense.
Yeah, and I mean, there is something about playing shortstop, but there's also something about playing center field, too. I mean, and
telling Mickey Mantle, Willie Mays,
and telling someone to play a different position as well, moving him from right to center. So, I mean, if you were to look at the weighted runs created, it's Judge. He's
interesting.
What is his WRC plus?
.214.
Damn.
I mean, Bobby Witt is tied for fifth.
So he's up there. He's close.
Yeah, I mean, it's Aaron Judge. I mean, Juan Soto second. Yordan Alvarez is third. Shohei. This is both leagues. So Shohei's fourth. He leads the NL. I mean, Brent Rooker has the same weighted runs created as
anybody's OPB Witt. That's up there is going to be up there in the WRC plus.
Yeah. I mean, weighted on-base average. Bobby Witt's second, Bobby Witt's third, Juan Soto second, Judge is first. So, I mean, he is having an MVP-like year. It just so happens that it's happening the same time as Aaron Judge is having just as good of a season.
I love that you showed me those stats because that pulls me back. Because at first I was kind of like, well, maybe Bobby Witt should be the MVP. But as you show me those stats, then yeah,
then Judge will take it.
Well, and I'm looking now.
And I actually think if the Yankees didn't have Judge and if they had Soto doing what Soto's doing right now, I still think the Yankees would be bad.
I think they'd be at least in contention for a wild card. Whereas I think
they would not be fighting for a division.
No. But wild card, maybe the last one, yes. The Royals, if they didn't have Bobby Witt Jr., they would be nothing.
They'd be gone.
Yeah. I mean, they'd have a couple good pitchers, but...
Is that not an MVP?
Damn it, Patrick.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And Judge has a better war by 0.1. And I know we got to go.
0.1. All right, we'll get out of here. It's Fair or Foul next. We'll do that next Hot Corner. But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite. This is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Without further ado, we'll turn this over to our fantastic producer, Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. Let's try to stump you. Got some good ones tonight. Even a tribute to the great James Earl Jones. Rest in peace, one of our questions.
Oh.
Lost him this week at the age of 93. But very, very important, prominent figure even in baseball.
Do you know that he sold his... voice to Disney?
Yes.
For AI of anything in the future of Darth Vader, they can AI his voice for Darth Vader. I thought that was really rad. As much as we're all a little scared and anti-AI, I thought that was cool because Vader will always be James Earl Jones.
You know, James, we just want you to do the voice.
That cutaway in Family Guy is great.
Family Guy bit.
No, really quickly.
I don't know it.
You don't do the Family Guy.
I think that show sucks.
You're wrong.
Dang it. To go down a rabbit hole, I actually do think that there are, I love that you brought that up, there are like select few, because AI is scary, and to keep somebody alive after they're gone, I think is a little, it's pretty crappy for the family, pretty crappy for themselves, but there is a handful, like James Earl Jones. I feel like, you know, your favorite baseball team, John Shepherd for the Yankees. Like, if he would have been here later, maybe he would have done this to keep the public address announcements in the stadium sounding the same for Yankees.
If I could watch a Mariners game and it's Dave Niehaus,
exactly.
Like, I'd be, you know.
There's like, everyone's like, oh, so scared everyone's going to do this. But it's like, shut up. There's only like a few hundred people we'd really want this for. So, anyways, I love that you brought that up. We'll get to our James Earl Jones question here shortly. But we'll start off with some pitching, y'all. We talked about it, actually, at least one of these guys in the first hour, Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal. Tarik Skubal. I just watched
Tarik.
I've got some family. It is a very traditional Muslim name.
Thank you.
Tarik.
Tarik. I apologize. Tarik. I just need
is,
to.
Is he
get
Muslim?
It right.
I don't know, yeah. But it is. He no, has that all, name. All his family are all T's. It's alliteration. We went through this last week, I think.
I think we did.
But Tarik is the traditional pronunciation.
But Tarik Skubal and Chris Sale both having amazing years for their respective teams. Maybe more surprising, Chris Sale. But fair or foul, guys, Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal are on pace to be the first pitchers to win the Triple Crown, the pitching Triple Crown in both leagues, in the same season since 1924.
And the pitching Triple Crown is ERA, strikeouts, and innings pitched?
Wins. Which is an ancient stat.
Ooh, but wins is tough.
Yeah.
I feel like Sale's got probably the wins. I mean, the Tigers are competing for the playoffs right now. I will say foul only because I think Skubal's missing the wins. I think Skubal's actually missing the strikeouts. Or Sale. Yeah, I'll say foul. I don't think they got all of them.
You guys are totally missing.
I'm all over the place on this.
As I said, since 1924. Has it happened since then?
Wait. Say the question again.
Said fair foul. Chris Sale and Tarik Skubal are on pace to be the first pitchers to win the Triple Crown in both leagues in the same season since 1924. Fair or foul?
Oh.
Has it happened?
Well, we might be forgetting old Rusty Nuts Johnson from 1914 or something like that.
No, yeah. Since 20, that would be before 1924, you dink.
Or on his knees, Big Johnson. You know, like, forget him.
Yes, or some racist nickname that was given to a Cleveland Spider at some point.
I love that you did that.
Go look up some of the names, and you'll know what I'm talking
pretty
about.
Rough. Yeah,
the
pretty
fact
rough.
That a grown man went by the name Pee-wee Reese, like, it, yeah, but just moving on.
I'll still say foul, but I hope I'm wrong.
He's got ERA.
Yep.
I'm kind of leaning with Patrick as that wins. I'm just trying to think of who else
wins
in the American League. And then ERA, Chris Sale, I mean, I don't know if Ronaldo Lopez qualifies not or not because he's been injured a little bit, but he's definitely has the ERA. He's got like a 2.07 or something.
I mean, I think
like
Paul Skeens might have a better ERA than Chris
Sale.
That's
quite possible also. I'm going to say foul. I think Sale, ERA, he does not have that. I think he's still like almost a whole run away from that. And then wins for Tarik Skubal.
You guys are actually both wrong. It is, well, no, technically. What did you guys say? Did you both say foul?
Said foul.
Well, yeah. All right, you are right, but for the wrong reasons. How about that?
We just didn't get the right stat right.
Yeah, you are, that's why I'm saying you are wrong, because they actually are on pace to both win this year's Triple Crown pitching-wise. Chris Sale has the best ERA in all of baseball with a 2.38, actually, over the next closest is Zach Wheeler with 2.59 for the Phillies. But
it's Logan Gilbert right behind him on that.
Logan Gilbert is all the way down at 3.15.
Ooh,
unfortunately, he's taking. He had a bad game like 2-3 weeks ago, I think. But yeah, actually, Sale also leading the way in strikeouts with 213, and leading the way with wins at 16, tied with Skubal, who leads the American League at 2.53 ERA as well as 208 strikeouts. So
it's funny. Like, I hate the win. Like, the win doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
As you said earlier, Schultzy. But it's, I guess I didn't realize that Sale was that high in strikeouts.
For sure.
216.
Probably.
You know,
the
I mean,
the Braves are
people
doing so well.
Used to say back in the day, if you got 300 strikeouts in a season, that was automatic Cy Young.
Oh my God, you're right.
And the fact that all those stats have gone down, but he is at 216, that's more impressive than I realized.
It's up to Skubal, or excuse me, not Skubal. It's up to Seth Lugo to get more wins. He has 16 as well. And then as far as strikeouts, it's Sale, Skubal 1 and 2, and then Cease at 205. He's got 8 less strikeouts than Sale. Cole Reagans has 4 less strikeouts than Skubal.
I love that you said Dylan Cease. Dylan Cease might have the most unrememberable, amazing season we've seen this year.
He's been awesome.
He's been really good, and we'll forget about him in the analogs.
By the way, back in 1924, it was Dazzy Vance and Walter Johnson, I believe, that
well,
won
Walter
both
Johnson, and there's a plaque in
yes,
Cooperstown of Walter Johnson.
Well, and this was his age 36 season, and he was 23-7, and he went, what is this, like... 23-7, 2.72 ERA, 158 strikeouts at the age of 36, and won the MVP that year as well. But actually, it was done in 2011. Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw did it.
There
won,
you go.
Won the pitching Cy Young. So, all right, fair foul number two. Francisco Lindor leads all of MLB in hits for the last 30 days. Fair or foul, Francisco Lindor leads all of MLB in hits for the last 30 days.
Oof. I'm going to say fair, because I feel like as the Mets have been on fire, as has Francisco Lindor, and honestly, I can't think of anybody else off the top of my dome that is playing as well. And that just sounds like, again, that matches up with the Mets' performance recently. He's been playing great. So I'm going to say fair.
I'm going to ride with Joe on this. I'm going to say fair as well. And mostly because, look, we had this really cool moment of shortstops. Carlos Correa, Corey Seager, Frankie Lindor. We had this moment where it was like, are we going to do this Jeter, Tejada, Nomar thing again? A-Rod, like, are we going to do this again where we've got a new brand of shortstops? And we started, and a lot of those dudes faded. You know, Correa's been hurt for a little bit. Once he left Houston, he wasn't as great. Corey Seager is more of like Carlos Beltran in the sense that if you get in the playoffs, Corey Seager will absolutely destroy you. But regular season, not as amazing, although I really, really love Corey Seager's defense. Frankie Lindor is the best shortstop in baseball. And the reason I am agreeing with Joe and saying fair is because there was a couple years where I was worried that Frankie was not good, not actually good. And I think he's had such an amazing year that if I had to vote for MVP, I would vote for Frankie Lindor. I'll say fair. I love Frankie.
It's foul, but just because it's a close no cigar situation here. He has 34 hits over the last 30 days compared to San Diego Padres second baseman Luis Arraez with 36.
Two-time batting champ. Yeah. That might win it again.
Damn you, Arraez,
still
again.
Still getting out of his booty, dude. All right, guys, here is our tribute to James Earl Jones. Fair or foul? The great man that played Darth Vader, and actually, I think one of only 27 EGOT winners, Grammy, Tony, Oscars.
Grammy,
Emmy.
Tony, Oscar, Emmy. That's the EGOT.
That's crazy. 27 people ever. He was one of them.
James Earl Jones once did a performance for this August Wilson play called Fences.
Yes.
I know August Wilson because I actually studied him in college.
Is that the movie that Denzel Washington was in?
Denzel,
nominated
Best Actor? They just put that out. Denzel actually played the son and the father on Broadway. He played the son 20 years ago.
Ah.
And then played the father 20 years later on Broadway. It is an absolutely amazing play. August Wilson, one of the best American playwrights ever. And
what would you
the
know?
The father in that show is James Earl Jones.
That is so cool.
That's how he made his bones.
Damn. All right, guys. Well, here you go. James Earl Jones tribute. So
theater major my ass.
Fair.
Historian.
Fair or foul? Hey, one of the cool things about being a theater or music major is you can take adjacent classes like that and learn cool things.
Theater history.
Yes, sir. Fair or foul? James Earl Jones was in 4 baseball movies throughout his career. Fair or foul? James Earl Jones was in 4 baseball movies throughout his career, guys.
Sandlot, Field of Dreams, blank and blank. I don't know what the other two are. If there are 2 more.
I think I heard this earlier. I think the answer is 3.
What's the third? Is it League of Their Own?
No, he's obviously Field of Dreams, Sandlot. And then the other was some baseball movie.
Sandlot 2?
That I had never heard
straight
of.
Straight to DVD?
That I'd never heard of. But I'm pretty sure there wasn't a 4th. I will say foul. I'm pretty sure it's 3.
I will align myself with Patrick Harris on this. I will also say 3, but that's also because I don't know what the 3rd or 4th would be. So.
I mean, you were kind of close, guys. Unfortunately, it is fair. He was in 4 movies, but Joe, you did jokingly say The Sandlot 2, and that is correct because he actually was. He reprised his character, James Earl Jones did, in The Sandlot 2.
He lived during that from Sandlot 1 to 2?
Straight to DVD 05 sports comedy film. He was in that. So he was in The Sandlot 2, obviously The Sandlot, Field of Dreams. But the one that Patrick could not name is the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings. And it's that movie from 76. It's about a team of ex-Negro League baseball players in the era of racial segregation starring Billy Dee Williams, James Earl Jones,
Ooh,
Richard Pryor. Like, this was a star-studded cast. So.
So let me ask you.
No, I haven't seen Sandlot 2.
In Sandlot 1, it's almost like a cameo, right? They go to get the ball, and then they go get him, and it's James Earl Jones, and you're like, whoa.
Hey, that's James Earl Jones.
To where Field of Dreams, he's there the whole show.
Yeah, movie.
What's more impactful, and we grew up with Sandlot, is his role in the Sandlot more impactful to us, not movie in history, but to us, is Sandlot more impactful for James Earl Jones, or is Field of Dreams more
for
impactful?
Us? Yes, but I would say that you remember his monologue about baseball from Field of Dreams more than any line that he had in Sandlot. You just know that he was the blind old dude that owned Beast, and you can't like.
And he played with Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Like, you know his, like, little backstory of his movie, but the whole the whole monologue that he has from Field of Dreams is like iconic.
Yeah, if so. The Sandlot for me, like Art LaFleur is Babe Ruth in the vision of Benny the Jet Rodriguez saying, "Legends never die, kid." For me, that's like one of the more iconic moments in that movie. Yeah. So.
And I think what's funny, like Joe, you mentioned it, like his monologue about baseball is his monologue about baseball and Crash Davis in Bull Durham talking about baseball are two of my favorite monologues about baseball of all time in movies. My actual favorite moment of Field of Dreams is when James Earl Jones decides to walk into the cornfield to disappear with them, and he kind of looks back and he just smiles and laughs and then disappears. And the fact that you can be that impactful without saying anything, that's acting. That's acting.
Acting!
All right, guys, I took up enough time. Well, no more time for our Mariners queue. We'll leave that for next week.
All right, that'll do it. We come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. It's the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, it's Any of the Fan. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week as the playoff race heats up. We'll keep checking in. The Mariners only 3 games back from the wild card. Can the Tigers make a run? What's going on in the American League East? Who's going to win that division? Yankees,
oh,
Orioles?
Oh, you know, baby.
Who knows? Plus the National League wild card of Braves. Braves, Mets, who knows? Nobody knows. So we'll see you next week. That'll do it for us. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.